Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Faces of TBI podcast series. I am Amy Zellmer, founder of facesoftbi.com and your host. Today, I will be chatting with Ted Baxter about his incredible journey of determination and recovery after a stroke. This episode is brought to you by Midwest Functional Neurology, a Minneapolis-based clinic staffed by a caring and progressive team of functional neurologists who are experienced in treating post-concussion syndrome, chronic pain, dizziness, whiplash, and migraines. They are the concussion doctors you can trust for comprehensive brain health in the Midwest. They've greatly helped me and many others. You can find them online at mnfunctionalneurology.com. Hello, everyone. I am Amy Zellmer, and you are listening to Faces of TBI, a podcast series for survivors by survivors, raising awareness about traumatic brain injury, one podcast at a time. For those of you who might not be familiar with who I am a TBI survivor from a fall on the ice in February of 2014. I'm a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Thrive Global, and the Good Men Project, and I volunteer on the Brain Injury Association of America's Advisory Council, and I recently released my second book, Embracing the Journey, Moving Forward After Brain Injury. You can learn more about me and the podcast at facesoftbi.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amy Zellmer. Today, my guest is Ted Baxter, and Ted was born and grew up in Long Island, New York. He received his Bachelor's of Business Administration in 3 years at Hofstra University, where he majored in public accountancy. He took a job working for Price Waterhouse as an auditor and passed all four parts of the CPA exam on the first shot. He then became a management consultant soon after, focusing on financial industry clients. While he was working as a senior manager, he attended the Executive Master's Business Administration program at Wharton on the weekends, where he got his MBA, concentrating on finance and strategy. After spending 22 years in the financial industry, he retired as a global finance executive with expertise such as international banks and securities, risk management, financial products, controllership, team building, and information technology systems. Ted experienced a massive ischemic stroke in April of 2005. He now volunteers his time at two hospitals in Orange County, California, providing his expertise and his experience as a stroke survivor in a communication recovery program and is involved in various philanthropic issues. He also participates as a member of the board of directors of the American Heart and Stroke Association. He does speaking engagements for health-related institutions, hospitals, and universities in California, and is the author of Relentless: How a Massive Stroke Changed My Life for the Better. He lives in Newport Beach, California, with his wife, Michelle, and their dog, Zorro. Welcome to the podcast, Ted. I am so happy to have you here today.
Thank you very much, Amy, for having me on your show.
Absolutely.
Really happy to be here.
So you mentioned your dog Zorro in your bio. What kind of dog is Zorro?
that was my Pomsky dog. He's a black and white color, and he's just like it's just like his name is like a Zorro.
I love it. So, Ted, you were living a really great life with a successful international career, and you were in excellent physical condition. So tell us about that day when you had an ischemic stroke at the young age of just 41.
Sure. And I'll point out that, unfortunately, I have aphasia, which is usually comes with having a stroke or a head injury. It's an impediment of language. You know that there are approximately 2.4 million people in the United States that have aphasia now. So now there are a lot of flavors of aphasia. When I first became a person with aphasia after my stroke, mine was really bad. I couldn't write, couldn't read, nor couldn't say anything. Global aphasia, some of the pathologists would say that. But anyway, I worked my tail off to get better as much as I could and to be here.
So, yeah.
That said, I'll tell you about my my day of April 21st of Thursday. It was a typical work day and busy for me. I worked out in a hotel gym in London at 6 a.m. at that particular day. Then I went to work and finished my day in London by 2 p.m. in time to catch a flight back to Chicago. That flight landed around 4 p.m. that day on Thursday, and I noticed that I was extremely tired. Not the stuff that makes you tired from changing the time zones. It was something else, and I had never figured this out, but that was a little signal of me that get ready, Ted. So after I went home, I laid down on a couch to watch TV in my bedroom. It was just after 8 p.m. Chicago time, watching The Apprentice. And a commercial was on the TV. My wife asked me a question. This is related to the commercial. I couldn't answer. And she repeatedly asked the question, and I wasn't responding. And she suddenly became concerned. And I knew something was going on. I became so mortified. Imagine a situation where I desperately wanted to tell her that something was wrong with me, but I simply didn't know how. So at the moment, I lost control and I lost the power of language. And I was so terrified, helpless and alone. And it was only in my mind. And it was in my mind, but it happened. So my wife, she called the police and paramedics, and she didn't know what's going on. Same thing with them. I could hear them clearly, but I couldn't figure out what they were saying. Couldn't formulate their sentences. I lost the comprehension. It was like they had changed into a foreign language, which I hadn't heard before. So that's where I start.
You know, and talking about aphasia, June is Aphasia Awareness Month, which is why we actually scheduled this podcast during the month of June. And I suffered from a lot of aphasia. Every once in a while, it still hits me. But I remember in the beginning, I would say the wrong word and I wouldn't even like hear it. I'd get a strange look from the person I was talking to and I'd be like, what did I just say? So, I can totally relate to some extent of what you've gone through with that. And, you know, I've heard from other stroke survivors that, you know, in their head, they're completely understanding everything and they think they're talking in complete sentences, but what's coming out is sort of gibberish. Did you experience some of that yourself? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I tell you, I had my wife at the point with me, and we happened to be to go to a school in Michigan, and it was a school just focused on aphasia. And I went there probably 10 months after my stroke, and she put me to talk to the primary therapist there, and she took me down, and she said to me, she said, look, I don't know what you're saying, and I'm telling you this right now, Ted, because you probably don't understand what this is. It's just the same thing that you just described to me, Amy. I mean, it's I didn't know it. It was in my mind. I was saying the perfect sentences, the perfect response. And she didn't say she said that. She said, no, you're not saying the right things. And for example, I don't understand what you're saying. You told me coming here in the school the first day. So it's yes, I have a very very experienced with saying gibberish or things. It doesn't work.
So, Ted, what would you say were some of the most difficult parts of your recovery, particularly everyday tasks that we take for granted?
Yeah, well, the physical side, because after my stroke, I had my right side of my body was basically paralyzed. And so when at that point, I knew I had to get that fixed. Immediately, I knew that the speech thing, that was going to be a different animal of that fix that. But the physical side, the things that bothered me was like eating lamb chops. Okay, and I say this because this is in my book that. My wife did at the point she made lamb chops at the time when I just got released from the hospital, and I came home and I couldn't move my right hand or my arm. I couldn't have that. I couldn't cut the lamb chops, and so that stuff. I mean, I was just sitting there, and we all, both of us, we just cried, and I couldn't believe it. And so she said to me, "All right, how are we gonna fix this?" So I told her the thing that we can do. I didn't tell her this at the moment. I gave her a task. I told her to tie my right my left arm on my back, and every day I'm going to use my right arm every day. So that's one example of things that were very tough for me to do. So the other things, if you go into speech, it was things like going to Starbucks and order a latte. You know, but man, I can't remember how many times I had to do this, where I get these calls, these looks from the baristas. What are you? I mean, are you from Spain, or they didn't understand what I wanted to have. So that's another thing that really bothers me. And the last thing I should say, that saying good morning and good night, sayings that with conversations along with that, just chit chat. With when you go to you're leaving your apartment every day, you get on the elevator, you have to say hi, how are you? And for me, that was so hard because I could say good morning. I didn't have the sentence after that. I have to think about that every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's absolutely, we take communication for granted. It's something we're born with. And when that's taken away from you, it's so incredibly frustrating. You know, and I'm curious, Ted, how did your stroke affect your relationship with friends and loved ones? I know this is something that comes up quite often in my Facebook group. You mentioned you have a wife. Has she just been a total pillar of your recovery for you?
Yeah, well, now we had some issues before I had the stroke. So we agreed. So after I had the stroke, we happened to agree that we should put that aside until I recovered enough, and then to put it on the table again. All right. So that said, my ex-wife now, she was fantastic. I couldn't. There's a special bond between me and her that, you know, she knows what I have, and she knows she was there from the get-go, and she didn't, you know, if I happened to didn't like a doctor or I wanted to change a different nurse, she would take care of that in a minute. I mean, she knew what my likes were there, what I didn't like. She was fantastic. So that's with my wife. With my friends, you know, this, it becomes a very, half of my friends, my relationships became a little strained, because they didn't know how to approach me given my stroke and my aphasia. You know, with things of if you have a stroke, everybody can get that, right? That you've been through experience by having a stroke, and now this is where you are. But when you have aphasia, you know, that probably half of them didn't really know what aphasia was. And frankly, I didn't even know what it was when I had it. So they have to do some research, and then to come up to me and to tell me, how are you? They probably didn't know that I wouldn't give them a response for any of that. So that was the only thing that happens with this friends versus wife, and my family was perfect. I mean, because they lived in Long Island where I grew up, but I was sitting in Chicago. All of them, all my brothers and my little sister came in probably in a minute. To see me, just, you know, to give me support. That was perfect for me.
You know, your story with your wife, it's so hopeful for other people who might be listening. You know, a stroke is very stressful on a relationship, and you were already having problems before. So it's so inspiring to know that your stroke sort of brought you back together, so to speak. And I hope that can instill some hope for others listening, because I know that's always a really big worry after any sort of brain injury. You know, the spouse doesn't always know how to help or what to do. And friends drift away because they don't get it. And, you know, like, stroke, they were there for you, they understood, but they didn't really know how to communicate with you. And I think that's common with a lot of stroke or a lot of brain injuries, not just stroke. They don't quite know how to approach us or how to be there for us. And sometimes all we just need is we just want them literally to be there and hang out with us. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. All that stuff that you're just saying. Absolutely.
So you mentioned how you felt really tired when you got off the plane in Chicago. Do you feel like there was any other warning signs that you may have missed that perhaps could help somebody else in the future?
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking about taking a long, long flight. So it was 10 hours up there coming back from London to Chicago. So the thing is, I might have missed is the fact that I got the plane, I told the stewardesses, look, I'm really tired, so I just want to sleep the whole flight. And they listened to me, and that's what I did. I slept the whole thing, and I didn't have any water, and I didn't move myself around. And now albeit because I was wearing compression socks that I usually wear every long trips I took. That was a big deal, but I got it. But then I missed the fact that you should have some water on your up there. So that could have been a problem. So, but other than that, I mean, my cholesterol, my exercise regimen, all that was perfect, you know. But I think the other thing was the fact that I was had a lot of pressure, and my stress was the fact that I had a great job.
So you have published a book. It is called Relentless: How a Massive Stroke Changed My Life for the Better. And I do have a link in the show notes, so anyone listening can find that link and check out your book on Amazon. Tell us how this book came to be and what you hope that people will take away after reading it.
Sure. What I think that I would hope that people will come away from reading this book. First, I hope they have a better appreciation of what a person like me or somebody like one of your podcasts or something went through a tragedy like this, or what happened of a massive stroke. And the challenges that I had to deal with, and even still, I'm dealing with some of it. So, an awareness and education of strokes and aphasia, you will come away from that. And the second is, giving up. Keep trying it, and eventually you might have to bend the rules. But determination and your willpower, you really don't know what you have within your side, but until you're faced a situation like this, where you don't care about that other stuff, your determination and willpower. And that's going to power you through to give you some hope and to achieve some small successes. So that's the second thing. And the third thing, support system is key. Obviously, I have my family, my friends, my wife. They need to be pushed me, but to be there just to provide support, that was great for me.
You know, and I think you really touched on something there. How, you know, we don't always know our own strengths until we go through something. I know for me, that first year, it was like, why did this happen? Like, what am I meant to learn from this? And, you know, it was hard to see the answer. And then you know, then all of a sudden it just became so apparent that I was meant to go through this so that I can help others, you know, similar to what you're doing. And it is, it's really profound when you finally have that aha moment and you know that you can get through this. You know, you might not be 100% who you were before, but the new you, I say I'm the new and improved Amy, right? Do you sort of feel that way too?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, somebody else I interviewed yesterday, somebody said to me, he said, look, so it was like God gave you a gift, mm-hmm. a gift to come back from your aphasia and your massive stroke. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you could show me a person that can come back and writing a book, I mean, that was pretty good, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Writing a book is no small feat. So I applaud you for that. So, Ted, we're almost out of time. But I do want to touch on the importance of giving back. You know, we just sort of touched on that a second ago, but, you know, you found that this has been really important for your healing process to give back and volunteer at hospitals and colleges. You know, so what is something that you have learned through giving back?
Yeah, this has gave me a sense of connection, a sense of competence that I was actually able to write things down that were helpful to people. So, you know, that's great. It's another benefit to helping others in recovery. It's a reminder that I was there once too, and that life can get better. If I can say that to the stroke survivors or aphasia people that need some help, you know, or a TBI person, I mean, I think that's great for me. It gives me a lot of gratitude. So focus on helping someone else allowed me to get outside of my own head. Keeps me my sanity intact.
Absolutely. Well, Ted, this has been such a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for being here today. Is there anything, any final thoughts, any final words of wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with?
No, just make sure that, you know, that if they go to buy my book, that they know they're going to get a lot of tips and techniques that I use. And I'm not saying that they should use the same prescription for their situations, but they can get two or three tips that would give them a hope, and then they should have that.
Absolutely. And again, I have the link to your book on Amazon in the show notes, so anyone can click through that and find your book easily on Amazon. So again, Ted, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. This has been wonderful talking with you.
Well, thanks very much, Amy. Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope that you have enjoyed today's episode with Ted. I hope that you have been inspired to get out there and just make a difference. Find his book on Amazon by clicking the link in the show notes. And you can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amy Zalmer. And keep up to date with current podcasts at facesoftbi.com. And another thank you to our sponsor, Minnesota Functional Neurology, the concussion doctors you can trust in the Midwest. Find them online at mnfunctionalneurology.com. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being a part of my journey. Have a great day, everyone, and I will see you next time.